Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan. I have Mikey and John joining me to discuss our full circle return, the homecoming matchup, Illinois against Wisconsin. And boys, is this another revenge game? Because we had Nebraska. That was a revenge game for Nebraska. Illinois got them there. We had Virginia, the Rod Smith revenge game. We had Maryland, the Mike Loxley revenge game. We had Purdue, the drums revenge game. We had Charlotte, Conference USA's revenge game. We got Wisconsin. Is this a revenge game for Wisconsin because, you know, we know what happened 2 years ago in Champaign? Or is this a revenge game for Brett Bielema, you know, playing Wisconsin?
Wow. Quite the intro there, Dan.
It's got to be a revenge game.
Yeah. Personally, I think it's a revenge game for Wisconsin. And John, I hope you go the other way just so I could hear your thoughts on that. But, you know, Wisconsin started off the season. Wisconsin's a top 10 program, you know, the last 10 years. And they've, you know, started off the season 1-3. And, you know, they have lost to some quality teams. So I don't want to take that away from them. But, you know, to come out and lose to an Illinois team, you know, a team that crushed their, you know, college football playoff dreams 2 years ago, back in the same spot. You know, homecoming again. I feel like the Badgers are definitely, you know, going to be going out there with a chip on their shoulder and definite revenge game for them.
I kind of love that you set me up for this, Mikey, because I mean, I was already thinking Brett Bielema revenge game.
Yeah.
And so some of that is kind of like almost a lack of a revenge game for Wisconsin, because I feel like they kind of got their revenge last year in terms of them just
right
absolutely putting it on the table against the boys last year and showing no mercy in the first game of the season, and Graham Mertz just being like, I'm going to be the best quarterback of all time, and then never doing anything of note really again since then. But also I think that like Bielema, just like the vibe that he gives off, he seems like, I mean, of course, like every coach, like you, the three of us could probably go up there to like some press conference and on a completely fabricated rumor of like us having some kind of revenge game, give the most coach speak of all time in terms of like, oh, you know, just another week. And, you know, this is a team that it's, you know, the boys in orange and blue versus the boys in red and white. And that's all it is. And I'll, like, we could go do that. But, you know, like based on his personality, pretty much every data point that I've seen, like he's got a little bit of an extra jazz to him. He's got a little cockiness. He's got a little bit more of a personality. He's not this kind of, you know, monotone blasé guy. And I feel like he's going to like have just that little bit of an edge. I honestly think, and this could bode well for Johnny fourth and short, I think he's going to like, if there's a potential first quarter play where it's like fourth and two from Wisconsin's 45 or something like that, I think he is going to like, I wouldn't even be surprised if he does something. Well, no, he's not going to do that because this is me like fantasizing and I don't think this is it. But like, if he like called timeout and then just started MFing everyone in the huddle right there and just be like, you go and you get those damn 2 yards right now and you shove it down their throats and we're going to score this ball and we're going to like I said, Mikey's probably looking at me like there is no shot any college football coach would ever do that. And I get that, but I'm just like romanticizing this in my brain because I want it to happen so badly because I want him to just go out there and put his I'm trying to think of a PG way to say this. I think he's going to put
his
all
pride on the table.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so John's on board with it being more of a revenge game for Brett Bielema than a revenge game for Wisconsin. And I feel like I kind of agree with that just because, like you said, Wisconsin took it to us to start the COVID year last year, and Illinois never really had a chance. Graham Mertz, QB1 last year as a freshman making his debut, just put up astronomical numbers and I think set like every record in the book, it seemed, for completions in a row, and he just absolutely dominated Illinois. Sounds like he'll be back for this game. He got a little banged up last week. He's been practicing this week. If he's back, what are we expecting from him? Because he's had a little bit of a shaky year this year. You know, hasn't quite looked like Graham Mertz of last year that we saw, especially against Illinois. So do you like that he's in there? Would you rather be facing the number two guy, or are you okay facing a injured or slightly banged up number one QB that hasn't really performed all that well this year?
I'm definitely on board with wanting to face Graham Mertz.
Revenge game.
You know, revenge game for our defense. Yeah. But no, I mean, just I think from a prepping standpoint, when you're able to watch film on somebody, you know, who's played a lot the last two seasons – And really since, you know, like you guys mentioned, since the game against us last year, it's just, I think what he had 5 touchdown passes or something. And since then he's thrown like 6 touchdowns and has like 10 picks, something outrageous, extremely lopsided from what we saw. So, you know, I'm hoping that if he plays, you know, it'll put a chip on our defense's shoulder. You know, Wisconsin, I think I was reading where they're, you know, 2nd worst in the country in 3rd down conversion percentage, which, you know, you wouldn't expect that out of a Wisconsin team. So I hope he plays. He's been all over the field this year in terms of his accuracy and just making dumb reads, dumb plays. So I think, you know, it would be an advantage for us if he were to play.
I totally agree. And I also think that there's something to it in terms of his confidence being shaken as well. I mean, like with Chase Wolf, the backup, I think that obviously it's not as proven a commodity, but he also doesn't really know what he doesn't know. And like, I think that there's a part of Graham Mertz. It's kind of like if you're a gambler and you just keep trying to like get back to even, I feel like he's pushing that and he's not getting to that point. And then he's getting hurt. So it's one of those where he's trying to recapture the magic of what he had against Illinois. And he's not able to do that. And I feel like there's something to it in terms of him just mentally potentially being in kind of a hole and wanting to get out of it and maybe forcing an issue here or there against a U of I defense that has looked, you know, pretty great the past couple games, but obviously still has some holes that you can exploit. And with a quarterback like Graham Mertz, who might be, like I said, looking to push that envelope a little bit more when you don't quite need to, if you have the talent up front that Wisconsin usually does, then he might force some mistakes and you might get something, you know, like what happened in 2019, where obviously he wasn't the quarterback then, but you know, you get some timely turnovers and a couple interceptions and all of a sudden the game turns back in U of I's favor. And I think that you have more of a probability of that happening with Graham Mertz at the helm than you do Chase Wolf.
One thing's for sure, and that's that we're going to see on the defensive side a lot of different looks this year. Graham Mertz didn't really have to deal with that, you know, 2 years ago when the Lovie Smith defense was in there. A little bit more one-dimensional. So I'm hoping he's still a young quarterback. So if you can, you know, get to him, show him a bunch of different looks and make him, you know, be prepared for a lot, that's going to serve the defense well. And like you said, maybe you get the hands on the ball a little bit. Maybe the defensive line, who had a great week last week, can get in the backfield and, you know, force some pressure and force him to be uncomfortable and, you know, generate a couple turnovers. Because I do think in order to win this game this week, Illinois is going to have to, you know, take that ball away and be, you know, at least 2 positive in the turnover department.
Yeah. And, you know, Dan, I love what you just said there about, you know, last year, just complete one-dimensional defense. He knew what he was getting on every down. You know, we didn't seem to change anything up. But, you know, the quarterback position, there's a million things, you know, going on in their mind pre-snap, you know, during, right before the snap, you know, after the ball is snapped and trying to read the coverages, trying to find the correct read. So when you're able to go out there and disguise coverages, you know, disguise blitzes, you know, roll people down into different zones, you know, it's tough on the quarterback. And, you know, that compared with his lack of, you know, high playing ability the last, you know, really this whole season, I think is going to bode really well for us. And I definitely think, you know, we need to win the turnover battle, because, you know, the last year and a half, we're what, top 10 in the country in turnovers. So we need to stay on that pace, because I know Wisconsin is, you know, in the bottom half of the country in terms of turnover margin.
Well, and Mikey, I'm sure you can speak to this, you know, fairly well in terms of having a relationship with many quarterbacks and obviously some better than others. But I feel like there's something to it as well in terms of him being somewhat injured as well. And like, I mean, I was kind of, when we were riffing a little bit pre-show, I was saying like, oh, Owen Carney has to, you know, put his face mask in a very legal way, but right between his shoulder blades. Because then if, you know, some kind of blindside hit where obviously, you know, you're not trying to be dirty and knock a guy out, but if you rattle his cage, and then he's also not only thinking about, okay, I got to make such and such read and determine this and try and find the right thing, because like I was just saying before, he's pressing. But then you add this layer of him also then thinking, oh my gosh, like I got to protect myself, because I mean, that hit that he took last week was, you know, pretty devastating,
right?
Or was that 2 weeks ago? Whatever, the hit that he took was pretty devastating. So it was one of those where he's probably thinking about that in general, but then if you have, you know, early pressure and some of that creative blitzing, then that's something that, you know, I think he'll definitely have to account for, is he's, you know, not only trying to go through his reads and everything, but then also, you know, having to think about, am I going to get lit up again?
And we saw that with Brandon Peters too, when he was, you know, when he got banged up, his return back, he was a little cautious in the pocket, was, you know, a little happy feet. So maybe you get a similar, you know, similar situation with Mertz this week, that he's a little antsy back there and, you know, trying to make plays quicker than he typically would have to, because he's just trying to protect himself or make sure he's not getting hit.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, anytime you're, you know, have an injury or a little bump, bruise, you know, whatever it is, it causes you to, you know, whether you don't want to think about it or not, deep down in your mind, you're going to be thinking about it. And anything that, you know, causes some sort of distraction, you know, is a positive for us, especially when it's the opposing team's, you know, starting quarterback.
I want to ask you guys both this question. Put yourselves in the seat of the offensive coordinator this week for Illinois. Let's say you're Tony Peterson. Wisconsin obviously has one of the best defenses in the country. Last week, you just ran all over Charlotte. What is your game plan to attack a Wisconsin defense that is as stout as they come? Are you running the ball hard, you know, with Chase Brown? Are you going to be mixing it up and trying to get more passing involved in early downs? Or how would you be attacking this defense this week?
Ooh, good question there, Dan. I guess that's why Tony Peterson gets paid the big bucks. You know, I think Wisconsin's going to, you know, crowd the box and make us throw the ball. But the only way I think we'll win is if we're able to control the line of scrimmage. So if it were me, I would try to establish the run and just try to pound it down their throat. But in knowing that Wisconsin is going to try to stop the run with everything, because we've not been proving to pass, you know, I would definitely throw some wrinkles in there with some play actions, some motions, some double passes, just some fluky things. Because, you know, this season is not gone the way we wanted it to. So you don't have anything to lose. Like, just go throw it all out there, throw everything out there, everything you have at them. But first, you know, I definitely think we're going to try to establish the run and make a statement.
Yeah, I think Jim Leonard is going to stack the box because he knows that the path to success for Wisconsin's defense, I mean, it's been their path to success for the entire season, is to stop the run and force a quarterback to beat them. And it's, you know, happened largely in part because their offense is fairly inept, but they have, you know, one of the best rushing defenses in the country. And it's one of those where, this is where it would be, if I was the offensive coordinator, this would be the perfect game for Johnny, you know, backseat driver to get in there. And like, first and 10 play action passes are so critical to maintaining some semblance of rhythm on a drive, because when you're sequencing plays, and I have a very rudimentary understanding of this, but I have read and kind of know enough that if you're running on first and 10 and you get that gain of like 2 or 3, and then you try to go for the play action pass, like, defenses are going to be much more attuned to that because it's 2nd and 7. And obviously the opportunity to get those, a chunk play, which is usually, you know, like 5+ yards in terms of a run play, getting that on a run play is not as high a probability. So you're going to look to something more of a play action pass. All that to say is Wisconsin is going to be looking for that run because they know, also, here's the thing too, is knowing the staff at Illinois and knowing how much they've been looking to establish the run, if you come out there and you throw some curveballs, Mikey, like you were even saying, if you throw the kitchen sink at them and you're running the deuce spam play, or if you're running play action, you know, wheel routes here and there and everywhere, it's going to keep the defense on their heels enough that then you're going to be able to establish the run game in later downs. Because it's not even anything, like, the thing too is you don't have to take some crazy shots on every single play action pass. It can just be something as simple as moving the pocket, getting Brandon Peters outside so that he's got space to make a throw, make a read, get someone open, scheme someone open. That's what it should be doing. And then you just get 6-7 yards here and there. And then it's okay. Then you can run the ball, because then it's 2nd and 3, or it's, you know, 2nd and 4, or even you get a 1st down and then you can run the ball there. And then you keep them guessing, because then you're not even alternating, but you're just, there's so much more of a dynamic that when you're going out there and establishing some identity of misdirection with the play action early, then it keeps, you know, a defense like that on their heels, because they're going to be selling out against the run. Like, they're going to be sacking, they're going to dare Brandon Peters to beat them with his arm. And, you know, it's probably going to come down to him doing that, but you can assist him. That's the thing. You can assist him by making it easier on him with play action passes.
Yeah. And he's got to, you know, trust his receivers a little more, you know, throw before they, you know, break. You know, 50-50 balls, give him a shot. You know, I feel like Brandon is so quick to hit the check down, you know, half, just wait a half second, like Isaiah Williams is pulling right behind the linebacker, go for 30 yards, you know? So little things like that, you know, that we've seen him do before. We know he's capable of that. So again, back to the injury thing, maybe, you know, after he busted his shoulder a little bit, maybe there's, you know, some thoughts in his mind. But if Brandon can, you know, settle in, take his time, you know, let the routes progress, then, you know, I think we'll have a good shot.
And I agree with what you guys said, because, I mean, Illinois hasn't proven that they can really do anything in the air this year. So Jim Leonard's certainly going to stack the box and, you know, bring the extra defender in there just until Brandon Peters shows him something. And so far this year, it seems like it's, you know, Isaiah Williams, you shut him down and you shut down the deuce span play. And that's really all you have to do with the passing game to kind of stymie Illinois in the air. So until Brandon Peters shows something, and like, how long is his leash? Because it's been a couple weeks. He hasn't really, you know, produced much. Is he, you know, if he gets off to a bad start in the first half, do you think Sitkowski comes in the second half, or do you think they're going to give him the game unless it's out of hand?
Another good question. Dan, you are rolling today. That's a tough answer. You know, a few weeks ago, I felt like I was so ready to move on from Brandon. But I could see if, you know, Art was a different style of quarterback, but generally Art and Brandon have similar games. So I don't know, you know, if Brandon is, I mean, unless, look, if he's got three interceptions, we're down 21, they'll put Art in.
Right.
But, you know, if it's a 17-10 ball game at half and Brandon's got 30 yards passing, you know, not doing too hot, I don't see them replacing him, just because the guy who's next up is not going to give you much more than you're going to get from Brandon.
Right.
And I think that's the key distinguishing factor in terms of the difference between the two, because they are very similar, but Art likes to put the ball in harm's way just a little bit more. And that's good in the sense that he's willing to push the envelope and make some of those riskier throws. Like we've talked about in recent weeks, like sometimes Brandon just needs to trust his receivers, let it rip and give his, you know, receivers a shot. But at the same time, there's a certain degree to which you need to kind of tame that. And it can't be, you know, every time that you're looking to throw, it's just like, all right, I'm just going to let this bad boy rip and hopefully someone makes a play. Like, no, I think that's why they might like Brandon a little bit more in terms of the staff. But if it is something like you guys are saying, if it's either a blowout or there's turnovers already and you're like, well, if Brandon's making, you know, turnover worthy plays and like he's, you know, supposed to be our safe guy, then we might as well see if Art can, you know, rally the troops.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Danny?
I agree with you. I think, you know, like you said, turnovers are a distinguishing factor. If he comes out and throws, you know, two picks in the first three or four possessions of the game, I think his leash is going to be pretty short. But they continue to say in their press conferences that, you know, Brandon Peters is the guy who allows them to, you know, use more of the playbook. He's the guy who has maybe more experience. And, you know, they trust him and like what he does in practice. We haven't really seen that translate much to the field, which is why I'm curious if, you know, if he starts turning the ball over a little more, if that's a quick yank from the coaching staff. But they seem to, at least from their words, say that they're backing him and have all the confidence in the world that he's the guy. But I'm not so sure that he comes out there and, you know, produces 40 yards passing in the first half and they're like, okay, that's it from him. That's the last we see from Brandon Peters. That would not shock me by any means.
Well, and even, I mean, to shamelessly plug our own podcast, Reggie Corbin was on our podcast last year talking about how Brandon Peters he was comparing him to practice Wes Lunt.
Right.
So they're probably seeing something where they're like, yeah, Brandon's clearly got more to him than Art Sitkowski does. But then when it comes to game time, he just lowers his ceiling to where it's kind of indistinguishable who you should go with at that point. And I think then they just default to, well, Brandon's probably not going to put the ball in harm's way, so we should go with him. But at the same time, there's only so much of that you can take, because it's kind of like it's akin to even like not going for it on fourth and short. At that point, you're kind of just playing not to lose. And against these better Big Ten opponents, you're going to need maybe a guy like Art in there who's, you know, playing to win and probably going to make mistakes, but that might be the key to success to snatch a couple W's that otherwise you wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I know he was a freshman, but I think he threw like 17 or 18 interceptions when he was at Rutgers. So we don't want that.
No,
no, we definitely.
You sure you don't want that, Mikey?
He definitely, you know, gives our guys chances to make plays. And I will say, you know, we were talking about Jim Leonard, you know, stacking the box, you know, trying to shut the run down. As a receiver, you know, there's nothing more disrespectful than that, because their defensive coordinator, their whole team is pretty much saying, my corner can stick you one-on-one. You're not going to catch a ball. So I'm hoping that, you know, the receiver room's got a chip on their shoulder as well, because, you know, we outside of Isaiah Williams, couple good games, we haven't seen much production out of any of them. And again, it's the whole offense, right? It's Brandon, the receivers. But I'm hoping that they come out and realize, okay, we're Big Ten receivers. We can play. Let's go win a 50-50 ball if we get a chance, and let's go make plays.
I think we're going to see a successful deuce spam play, because this, like, Wisconsin's defense is as sound as it is. You can beat it over the top. And like, even if they set that up with some action to like Isaiah in the flat or hitting the tight ends over the middle, like get that going enough. And then like, I still can't get over how deuce spam beat that dude from Charlotte just so cleanly and with so much separation. I don't think you're going to get that against Wisconsin, obviously. But at the same time, like, I think that's there to be had. And you just, and see, one thing that I think we will also get is Brandon Peters overcorrection. And he's going to absolutely gun that ball if it's wide open. And he's going to overthrow Deuce, if anything, because he is not going to have that happen again. And I am looking forward. I think they run the Deuce a variation of the Deuce spam play, you know, a couple times just to see if they can take, because he's really the only threat, I would think, to take the top off that defense. And then, yeah, like I was saying, you maybe get something underneath that with Isaiah and the tight ends. But yeah, we need someone in the wide receiver room to step up big time.
If we could get Brandon Peters to take a page out of Brennan Armstrong from Virginia, his moon ball book, because he just throws those things to the moon and just lets his receivers run under the ball. I was like, man, if Brandon Peters can do that, Deuce Span will have 10 touchdowns before the season's over.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of electric players, Mikey,
picks
of the week. Do you have an electric player for us that you think is going to bring this thing home?
You know what? Originally, I was going to say the entire offensive line.
Mm.
But throughout this podcast, I've changed my choice. I am going Brandon Peters.
Oh, boy.
Is going to come out and have a game.
Wow.
Bounce back, baby.
You know, revenge, he's hearing game. All the noise. You know, everyone's talking, you know, fan base-wise, media. I think he's going to come out, and I'm not saying he's going to throw for 300, right? But he's definitely, I'm going to say he'll throw for over 200 and have at least two touchdown passes and lead us to victory. So BP18, repping the number 18, you know, I got to go with my man.
Got to love that.
John, who you got?
I think I've just talked myself into, like, I feel like I have to go with Deuce Span at this point. Like, I can't just be like singing his praises in terms of like him having some substantial plays. And I guess like I can just come on the podcast on Monday, and if it doesn't hit, I'll just be like, oh, you know, he just ran too good of a route. He was just too wide open, and they like the quarterbacks just couldn't hit him. That's what I'll have to say.
But my pick of the week will hit him. So let's hope there's some
exactly
here.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. This is the
speak I mean, it into existence.
We literally had like, I mean, granted, it wasn't a Rod Perry fumble that then Kirby Joseph recovered, but we kind of manifested the Kirby Joseph fumble recovery last week on the podcast. True. So yeah, if I take this man.
Tandem picks.
Maybe we'll get, instead of, maybe it won't be Deuce Span and it'll be Dyne Navarro going 2019 redux, and he'll just break a big one for a tutty. I'll take that, but I'm gonna
that's
have to
fine
take
by me.
Exactly. But I'm taking Deuce Span as my pick, because I just want to see that one of those moon balls so bad.
We're due. It's been a few weeks since we last completed one of those, so I wouldn't be surprised if this is the week, especially with Wisconsin probably selling out for the run.
Yep.
I am going to go with, I think this is going to be probably a surprise pick, because this is a player who would probably tell you he's underachieved a bit this year. But I'm going to go with Tony Adams for nostalgia purposes, because he made the big play.
I love that.
2 years ago when he intercepted that ball in the fourth quarter to set up that drive for Illinois. So I'm going to go with Tony Adams to step up here on homecoming. He's a senior. He's a guy that has been around, and it's his time to have a big game when it counts. So Tony Adams my pick, and I'm going to say he's going to have an interception in this game.
I love it. I love all three picks.
We are definitely in the zone. And honestly, like, we haven't touched on the Illinois defense versus the Wisconsin offense too much in terms of like matchups. We don't really need to, because it comes down to how does Graham Mertz perform. We obviously touched on that, but it will be, I'm really excited to see how the defense looks, because these are like the games against Wisconsin and Iowa and Northwest. Like, those are more your classic Big Ten West matchups, and seeing how this like new look defense performs against those types of offenses is something that I'm going to be tuned in for sure. And not like it necessarily needs to have, you know, an immense amount of success, but still something that just is a different look and isn't, you know, the Tampa 2 getting gashed in the middle of the field by all these like good Big Ten West tight ends that are just, you know, absolutely making us look silly. I'm hopeful that, you know, that doesn't happen again or in some other variation, but I'm definitely going to be tuning in to see how this, how Ryan Walters gets the boys matched up and ready to go for Saturday.
I'm with you on that. Mikey, you kind of spoiled it by saying you're seeing Illinois winning this game, but do you have a score prediction?
24-20. Boys, take it. All right. That's it.
Simple as that. John?
Yep.
Oh, boy. I mean, I feel like since we're the field pass two, field passing harder, I feel like I have to go with another James McCourt field goal to win the ball game. And what am I going to make the score? I think it's going to be Illinois 31, Wisconsin 30, which is going to be very high. I think it's going to come down to, you know, the deuce span play being run multiple times, and maybe there being some errors that lead to touchdowns on both sides of the ball, because I don't really necessarily think this is going to be a high scoring game if you just look at this matchup on paper, but it also could lend itself at some mistakes and some faux pas that then lead to quick and easy points that then lead it to a 31-30 last second field goal game winning play for the boys.
I like it. I am going to go, I guess if I'm sticking with the theme of nostalgia, I'm going to go ahead and say 24-23 Illinois. And I'm going to say last second field goal as well. Part two, run it back.
Which end zone?
Let's say it's got to be the same. Got to be the same end zone, right into the student section. It's going to be a sold out student section. I don't know that there will be a storming of the field for an unranked Wisconsin team this year.
No,
but
definitely not.
I think a last second field goal will be huge. And last time we played them in Champaign, the infamous field pass part one, Illinois was 2-4 in that game, won it to get to 3-4. Illinois coming into this game, 2-4, could win it, get to 3-4. A lot of similarities, a lot of parity, just running it back here for the field pass. So I'm kind of riding with the nostalgia, and I think Illinois might just pull this one off. 11-point underdogs, but it's not stopping me this week.
I feel like the football gods would smite us if we like somehow, if like on this, the return of the genesis of the field pass, we picked against Illinois. I feel like somehow we would, you know, that would turn into an unfavorable result for the boys.
No. And if the football gods do somehow give us this win, we're probably destined to like lose out the rest of the year. But like, I would trade that. Give me another win against Wisconsin here in Champaign just to lose the rest of the year. I might make that trade. I don't know about you guys.
No, we're winning out.
We still control our destiny.
Might be still smelling those roses.
Oh, yeah. Catch me in Pasadena.
He's still got the flight booked, ladies and gentlemen. He hasn't canceled yet.
Well, that will just about do it. We will, all three of us will be down in Champaign for the game. So if you do see us, feel free to say hello.
Dan wants to take pictures with anybody. He'll yeah. sign some autographs.
People aren't even going to know what my face looks like. I'm just going to be.
Are you kidding me? You're like the most popular dude on the field pass. They're going to be like, who's this other dude? Who are these two guys that are with Dan Saladino? Are you kidding me, ladies and gentlemen? Get this autograph.
No. I'll be standing behind Mikey. John and I will be his bodyguards. And if you try to get his autograph, you might just get shut down. If you ask nicely, maybe we'll let you through. But yeah, but if you do see us, please say hello. We are appreciative of all of your support. You can check us out on our social media pages. Now that Facebook is and Instagram are back up and running, you can find us there at The Field Pass. You can find us on Twitter as well. Check out our YouTube page for some film breakdowns. We appreciate everyone who has been listening, following along. Thank you. Let's go get this homecoming win. Go Illini.